as I recall, Mr. and Mrs. Stang came here with their two daughters and lived in the house now occupied by the Chinese restaurant on 4th Street.
Oh, yes.
And they had that home while they were building their lovely manor on the hill.
Would that have been in the 1910 and 20 period, perhaps?
The children were in school, and Anne must be, if she were alive today, would be about 95. So that would put her birth date subtracted from
yes.
this time down.
Well, I came to that conclusion because I believe the Mount Emily Lumber Company was started by August Stang.
Correct.
And that would have been
well, didn't
early
they buy
1920s, I think.
Yes. Didn't they buy
Bowman Hicks?
Yes, the one already here.
Yes.
Yes. And then called it Mount Emily Lumber Company.
Yes.
And they...
Do you know why they came to LeGrand specifically?
I suppose for timber.
But what made them want to come here? Somebody told me something about a brother who either came at the same time or might have been here before August came. Do you know about that?
No, I don't know about that.
Were you aware of a brother?
No, I was never aware of the brother. And
maybe the Bowman Hicks Mill was advertised for sale nationally, and he found out about it and decided that was his opportunity.
That could be. Well, it's the same thing with Mr. Hoffman. Mr. Hoffman was in Tennessee, and he came west to take advantage of all the timber and had this lumber yard over in Union, this big plant over in Union. Do you know C.W. Hoffman's daughter, Robbie Waller?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And these people came out to take advantage of a more lucrative situation.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
That's my idea.
Yeah, that's quite likely, it seems.
Yes. But...
when did you first meet or know about the Stangs?
Well, we came to LeGrand after the war, and... you don't come into LeGrand and not know about the Stangs,
mm-hmm.
because their house itself attracted attention.
Oh, yes.
And David admired the house so extensively that I think in the back of his mind, maybe someday he would own that house. I don't know. But anyway... the Stangs were had their own friends. I never was in the house until we went to look at it in early 1962.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at that time that they had it up for sale. And David wanted to have me go and look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to buy it is what he wanted to do.
Yes.
And of course, I didn't feel like we could afford it. But he was going to see to it that we could. So anyway, we bought the house in 1962, the first buyers. There was no previous owner, just the Stangs.
Yes. Uh-huh. Why had they left?
Left the house.
Yes.
Age and retirement. I think they needed to cut down. And
were they in their advanced age?
Yes.
In their 80s?
Yes, I think so. And August had sold to Templeton Lumber Company. And then the Templetons had it for a short time and then sold it to Boise Cascade.
Mm-hmm. Templetons didn't change the name of Mount Emily,
no,
did they?
No.
Kept that the same name.
Or did they call it the Templeton Lumber Company?
I had not heard that. That's why I asked you.
Uh-huh. No, I think they called it the Templeton Lumber Company. They were out of Portland. and they brought in their son-in-law and their son and ran the mill. And then they had this offer from Boise Cascade, and so chose to do that.
That's it.
The one thing that I heard about August and Priscilla was when they came here and they lived in that house down on 4th Street, they had a chauffeur or a butler, and he would go out and get in a little basket-like cart drawn by a horse and take the girls to school. And that was quite a fascinating thing to see. The basket was like you would see on a hot air balloon, you know?
Yes.
And that was quite the envy of all the children in the neighborhood, because they thought it was pretty nifty to get to go to school in a cart drawn by a horse.
I should think so.
Yes. And they had stables behind that house at the time.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
What else did you learn about the house, its construction, maybe who the architect was, and those kinds of details?
His name was Charles Miller. He was from Pendleton, and he came over to Le Grand and lived here during the time of construction.
Sure.
And it was always my understanding that back in the early 20s, he received $10,000 for that. The house cost $80,000 to build in the 20s, early 20s.
Uh-huh.
Now, there's a little confusion on that. I was talking to my son, David Baum, and he thought they paid $100,000 for it. But I recall it as being $80,000. And then we purchased it for $35,000. And that was in 1962. We didn't take possession for 6 months because they wanted time to get out of the house.
Why do you think the price was so much lower?
Well, I think for one thing, they couldn't, no buyers for a house like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the 60s also. There was not a house in town that had even gone for as high as $35,000 at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Don Ragsdale told me that. He said, after we bought the house, he said, then they start selling houses for $32,000, and the prices were better.
Uh-huh.
Why? I don't know.
You led the market.
Well, it kind of sounds like that.
Yes.
But
did you find, or did anybody give you any kinds of documents or plans or anything in writing about the construction of the house?
We have the plans.
Uh-huh. You do?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I think we do.
How interesting.
Or did we give them to the owner? We may have left those in the house for them, because...
You mean the McClures?
Uh-huh.
Or there was someone previous to the McClures, wasn't there?
Yes. We sold it to Larry Fuller, an insurance man that came into town. He had 5 children, and while they were in the house for 7 years, they had 2 more. And then they sold it to Hart, who now runs the Haynes Steakhouse.
Oh, yes.
And they had it for quite a while and ran it as a bed and breakfast. And Larry Fuller did not run it as a bed. It was a residence for him.
Yeah.
And then the Harts sold it to McClure's. And then McClure's sold it to the present owner.
Jensen.
Uh-huh. And
so you think the plans may have gone away with previous owners?
No, I don't know why they take them. I really don't. I think maybe Mrs. Jensen has them. You could ask about that, and I also will.
We're going to see her on Friday this week, so I will.
But you see, there would have been no reason for us to keep the plans.
No.
They belonged at the house.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything else besides the plans?
Well, the thing that we bought a lot of the furniture from the Stanks.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean in the way of documentation.
Oh, documentation.
Any details about construction?
It might be on the plans. Uh-huh. But that, other than the plans, that was all.
So I think I've read that well, there were special orders for what, marble and various kinds of wood from afar.
Yes.
Very high quality.
Italian tile from Italy that went into making a lovely fountain in the sunroom. Mm-hmm. Have you been in
the house?
Yes,
I have.
Did you see
the fountain? I haven't been upstairs, though.
Oh, you have been upstairs. Well, the fountain in the sunroom was Italian, according to what the Stanks told me. And, of course, they had a painter. It was George Bug's father who painted the house. And George Bug at that time was 18. And he assisted in the painting.
How do you spell Bug?
B-U-G-G.
B-U-G-G. Is he still around? Or
no, he died recently.
Some member of the family?
No. He was married to, her name doesn't come to me right now. But anyway, he's dead, but I don't know about her.
What did you hear about the painting then?
I heard that Mrs. Stang told me that they've had 7 coats put on and never painted again. They were very, very careful. They did a lot of antiquing, particularly up around the Baroque. You call that at the top the beautiful Baroque
borders.
Uh-huh. And it was really still lovely when we moved in. Now, whether or not the entry hall, which is quite large, still has that, we left it. We never painted out the entry hall because we thought it was quite charming.
Yes.
And they had a man come in and build the stairway, and then it wasn't too long afterwards the stairway collapsed. And
after they had moved in?
After they moved in. Uh-huh. Yeah. And the man that repaired it told me about it. And he even helped us with some of the repairs after we moved in.
Was it still not correct?
No, it was fine. It's been fine since.
But you said helped you with repairs.
Incidental repairs in addition to doing the stairway. Uh-huh.
Yes.
I have forgotten his name, and yet I know it someplace. Sometimes my computer doesn't kick things up.
Like everyone else.
Yes.
Yes.
But he was a man that would stand up to Mrs. Stang. She was quite formidable, you know.
Well, she was. No, I didn't know that.
And with her help. With her help. Well, she was charming to her friends and had lots of friends and had lots of parties at the house. But hired help was hired help. The maid, their full-time housekeeper, never came into their part of the house. She lived in the kitchen and in the downstairs basement washroom, and her quarters were a stairway that went out of the kitchen and up to her quarters where she slept and went for relief from the duties.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they called her, let her know they wanted her, was by a call box in the kitchen. And if number 6 came up on the call box, she'd go up to Mrs. Stang's bedroom to see what she needed.
Mm-hmm.
But she never came unless she was called. And then if the call button 4 flew up, she knew she was in the sunroom. And then in the dining room on the floor, underneath the carpet was a button that you could push that called her into the dining room to help when they were ready for dessert or something.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Stang had used that button so much it wore a hole through the rug.
Do you think the Stangs came here expecting to live at a very high economic level?
Yes, because
so
they
she'd become accustomed to this.
Mm-hmm. They brought their butler with them. And I believe he might have been a combination butler-gardener.
My understanding about Mr. Stang himself was that he was not at all pretentious. A rather small man who was pretty ordinary in his arrangements and with other people. Is that true?
Yes.
But she was more...
She was a beautiful woman and had been a beautiful woman. August, I didn't think, was a man you would even notice if you didn't know who he was. And of course, when I met him, his face had started to line very prominently.
I should think that people around Le Grand would have regarded them and the way they lived as pretty highfalutin.
Well, they certainly did.
Was there some ridicule?
Somehow, no. I don't know why.
Maybe because of August's plain manners?
It could be. That could be.
But if she treated her maid that way,
I think
that would have caused a raised eyebrow.
I know one time the sink plugged up or something plugged up, and she went down and accused the housekeeper of pouring her mop water down that sink. Well, the poor housekeeper had not done that, but Mrs. Stang was just unbending about it. But when the plumber came, he discovered it was something else that caused the plumbing to quit functioning.
Yes.
And so when that happened, this woman was not to be denied. She up and quit her. And that was quite a shock to Mrs. Stang. I think for the first time in her life, she apologized to the lady, but the lady didn't give. She just left them. But they always had two cleaning ladies that came in twice a week. And then they had the full-time cook, and they had the full-time gardener. And I understand he had quarters out in the garage that they fixed up for him. There was a little house behind the garage that he slept in. And it's quite a rich way to live. We couldn't live like that when we bought the house. But I did have a little household help 3 hours on Tuesday and 3 hours on Friday.
Well, it would be almost impossible for one wife to take care of that whole house, I should think.
That's right. And we didn't sleep in. We got up and took care of the house. It ran us.
Say a little more about that.
About the house.
About how it ran you.
Yes. Well, for one thing, I had to do more work than Mrs. Stang to cut down on the household help. And the whole family just had to be careful and not waste any of their time when they were to clean up their bedrooms and to keep things so that I didn't have all this trial.
Sure.
But...
was there anything more difficult about taking care of that house than simply its largeness?
The expense of, like, painting.
And heating.
And heating.
Oh, yes.
We were lucky we lived there at a time when gas over oil was 19 cents. Mm-hmm. Now it's a fierce price.
Yes.
And... I was going to say something.
There are a lot of windows.
Yes.
Right there.
We clean them on the outside once a year.
Uh-huh.
Now, she probably cleaned them much more than that. But we didn't overdo it. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't overdo it. We didn't.
What about taking care of the grounds?
David loved gardening. And he did all the planning. And he had a beautiful border out on the Spring Street side of the house. That was just gorgeous. It was a perennial border. And then he put in 200 cam junipers around the front of the house on the side.
They're still there, aren't they?
Yes, they're there. He did that all himself. And then he planted a rose garden. August had lovely roses, but shortly after we moved in, we had a terrible freeze and lost his beautiful peace roses. and the climbers were peace. And so everything had to be replaced. But David did everything except mowing the yard. And we had Maurice Geckler, was a wonderful handyman. He came and mowed the lawn, and with David Jr.'s help when he got old enough. And in fact, David Jr. was a tremendous helper. He could clean out a garage like you've never seen before. And that helps when the family participates. But you see, Mrs. Stang didn't have to clean. Her daughters never cleaned. And I'm sure August, he may have gone out and put it in the yard a little. I know he did in latter years. But
how many years do you think the Stangs lived there then?
Well, I think from 24 to 62.
Mm-hmm. 1924, is that when the house was completed?
I think so. So that'd be about 40 years. Mm-hmm. You stop and think that actually there's houses now that are on the market that are far older than the Stang house were when we bought it.
Yeah.
Not older than the Stang house, but far, far more years on it. I know of some houses up on the hill that are over 45 years.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So actually, it was pretty well kept.
Yes, it. From what you've said and from what I've observed, it seems that the house has changed very little since it was built. Mm-hmm. There hasn't been any remodeling of any kind, has there?
Well, yes. Hartz took and opened up the kitchen and utilized the pantry and had a pass-through table tiled and to accommodate their bread and breakfast.
Yes.
And that was all I think they did that I know of.
I've heard that there was, maybe there still is, a stage in the basement.
Yes, there is. The recreation room in the basement is as large as the front room. And it was marvelous for the children's playroom because we put in a ping pong table, we put in a foosball table, we put in a pool table, and someone gave us a coffee table with a checkerboard implanted in it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that was Mona Otten.
Oh, yes.
And then we had television down there. So, David, when New Year's came around, he wouldn't let the kids, their party had to be in the basement there. And the kids had to come in. Well, they were delighted,
yes.
You know, with all that.
Certainly.
Yes. We never locked the house because the kids came and went all day long, and often they brought their friends. Lots of times I'd come home and I'd go down the rec room, and there would be kids that were not mine. They would come in, go down, and use the recreation room. And
did you do anything to the stage?
No, the stage had lights, you know, where the what do you call those shutters at the not shutters, but they come up out of the floor of the stage,
uh-huh.
And the lights are in there.
Uh-huh.
And
footlights?
Footlights, mm-hmm. Yes.
So do you think the stage is still there?
Yes. It'd be foolish not to have it still there.
It seems so.
Yes.
Are there curtains?
No. No. We never had curtains, and there weren't curtains there when we moved in. But the thing that's so interesting, right off the recreation room is a huge well room where they had their big well and watered their yard with this well. And that's still there.
What did that look like? Did you see a pump?
Uh-huh. Yes. But it wasn't operable when we moved in. August had gone into city water.
Oh.
Uh-huh. But let's see here. I wanted to say that every closet in the house and down in the basement there were storerooms. They were all finished in beautiful cedar. And they just smelled wonderful. They did that, of course, for many reasons, protect them from moths. And then the cedar odor, I just love the cedar odor.
Yes.
And I hope that they've still kept those up, you know, you can restore them. See, we left the house in 77, and so we had it about 15 years. And I think everybody else has had a sense of timeliness about the house.
Yes.
We left a huge, Mrs. Stang left a big wall hanging. Have you noticed that as you went up the stairs? On the left as you go up the stairs is a beautiful old wall hanging. And we left that for the Fullers, and they left it for the Harts, and the Harts left it for the McClure.
Is it a tapestry?
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Do you know the history of that?
They brought it with them when they came.
But there was nothing on it to say where it had come from or who had made it?
No. And there's something that you would not have room enough for in another home. This isn't a home that you could hang it in.
Yeah, it belongs in that house.
It certainly did. Yes. So it stayed there.
Yes.
And of course, so did the dining room set. The dining room set belonged there. It was designed for that room and it just right for the room.
Were there other rugs that stayed?
Yeah. We had taken and done some carpeting because the rugs were quite old. And they were kind of a mold color, kind of browny gray. They were lovely, thick rugs. And the floor was gorgeous around because they had hardwood floors throughout the whole house, except in the attic, I think, and the basement, of course. But we put a new carpet in the dining room because August had worn that carpet through pressing the button.
He needed too much service.
And he and so we put in and redecorated the dining room. I don't know that you ever saw it after. See, it was still done like we did it until the McClure's moved in. It was periwinkle blue. And it was absolutely beautiful.
Wallpaper or paint?
Wallpaper, of course. Flocked. Flocked wallpaper. And we had the Austrian drapes, which were certainly right for that. And then we did the breakfast nook, put down a square tile that was very handsome. It was actually linoleum type, but it was a deeper periwinkle blue, and then we did a lovely wallpaper in there, too. Mrs. Stang never wallpapered. She had the same wallpaper that was there for 40 years. And
if you start with good wallpaper in the first place, and it's well applied, why would you need to put in your new...
Once we did a job, we never did it again.
Yes.
In the 15 years we were there.
Uh-huh.
And I was going to take a look here at my... notes to see if there's they had tennis courts. They had the whole block, you know, at that time. There's four houses in the block besides the Stang Manor, and at that time they had the whole block
with no street going through above.
Now that I don't think had gone in yet. No because there was nothing up there except the house. And they put in tennis courts, and they put in a stable, and right now there's a house. There was no house like it. Even now, there's no house like it.
That's right.
Because of the fine work inside, he had the best there was. And let's see. By the way, they had a wine cellar downstairs that was fascinating. And it was screened. And it was a marvelous place to put your liquor and your wine.
Sure.
And also, if your housekeeper can, she could store canned fruit there. I'd use it for that, put my canned fruit. I did a lot of canning at that time. And out front, there was a beautiful fountain, too. But August had ceased to run it. When we did, all that was left was just the cement part that was concave.
Did you see it in operation, though?
No. I never saw it in operation. But it certainly must have been when we moved there.
What do you imagine that it was, given what was left when you moved in?
Just the base.
But
the base of the
fountain. Do you think there was a single tube that shot? Did you want to say anything more about what you think the fountain may have looked like?
Well, I believe it was quite pretty, quite well done, and I think probably August would have put in the finest construction to it. I never saw it, but other people did and had commented on it at the time. Of course, so many people now are gone that used to know the Stangs, and it was completely surrounded with Betty Pryor roses, a big circle around the fountain, and that was gorgeous. The roses were still there when we moved in.
Mm-hmm.
But
why did you decide not to revive the fountain?
Well, because of the expense.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And August hadn't done it. And why hadn't August done it? Because, you see, he wasn't financially secure like he had been. Their life had to take a downturn financially.
How do you know that?
I know it from the man that was involved in buying the mill from them.
Mm-hmm.
He was Gale Beals. Did you ever hear of Gale Beals, who
no.
Templeton's brought in from up in Washington?
No.
And he,
how do you spell his name?
G-A-L-E-B-E-A-L-S.
See?
Uh-huh. And he said that they were in financial straits.
Huh. And that was one of the main reasons they needed to sell the mill and the house?
I think so. Uh-huh.
Is this because the lumber business had declined?
Well, either that or perhaps too many of them were trying to live out of the business. See, there was his son-in-law, George Decker. Then his sister's husband was out there. He had given up his dental practice early on, and he went out there. And, let's see. Then Hattie Kinzel was his sister, but her daughter was the one that married a dentist, but he gave up the practice and went to work for the Stangs in the mill. Now, I think it was just too much family.
Too big a payroll? All going to the family?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And then?
Too many pigs at the trough is another expression.
Well, I do know that Dale Beals, when he came to town, there's an article in the paper about his taking over the mill. And in this...
As the manager?
As manager. He was their man on
right.
the spot here.
Templeton owned it, but he was the manager, is that it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. There was a more elegant phrase for that.
What, than manager?
Than manager.
Oh.
Yes.
Not supervisor?
Well, even more elegant than that. He was their top gun,
uh-huh.
Let's say.
Uh-huh.
Now, that isn't good English, is it?
Yes, that's fine. Sure. That's good colloquial English.
Good. But, when he spoke to a group, he spoke about the decline of the Stang Empire.
Mm-hmm.
and what condition they were in. And his daughter Anne did not like that one bit.
You mean like having that told?
Uh-huh.
I suppose not. It was embarrassing.
Oh, she didn't like it at all. And he didn't stop to think what he was doing. He did it just as a matter of a businessman telling the facts. Mm-hmm. And Anne is dead and gone now, and so is her sister, and so is George Decker, Anne's husband. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's any secret about it now. But it was kind of sad because they couldn't live at the high level that they lived at before. They didn't have any butlers.
Sad for them, but I don't imagine a lot of other people felt sad.
No. They still did pretty well. Yes.
Yes.
But
I suppose the Stangs had one or more expensive cars that pulled up in that lovely entryway.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see them?
No, I never did. Because I was not... we came to town right out of World War II.
Yes.
And we didn't even have a bucket, let alone any cherries to put in our bucket.
Yes.
And it was starting from scratch. I had worked while David was overseas and saved some money that kind of tided us over. But we were not able to go out and buy a house or what we would like to have done.
Where do you think we might find photographs of the Stang house when they were living there?
I've never seen any. I don't think there were any left in the house.
Mm.
And the only thing I would know to do to tell you is Anne and George Decker adopted two children, a boy and a girl. And the girl lives up at Wallawa Lake.
I've heard about that.
And I bet she might have some pictures. Maybe.
I know that the Jensens have been trying to get in touch with her.
Uh-huh. Well, she fell out of favor with Anne.
Oh.
And I think they've done a lot for her. And she just wasn't able to perform the way they'd like to have seen her.
Do you know what her name is?
I was trying to think of that last night, and I still can't think of it.
Mm-hmm.
And her name that she was married. Now, whether she's using her married name or not, I know where she lives up there.
How do you happen to know that?
Where she lives?
Yes.
Well, my son rented a house up there, David.
Mm-hmm.
And she was right next door.
Oh. He might remember her name then.
Oh, I called him. When I was reviewing all this in my mind last night, I called him on the phone and he couldn't think of it either.
Oh. Okay. Well, maybe the Jensens have a line on her.
Maybe they do.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
It would be wonderful to get some of the photographs that might have been taken in the 20s and 30s and 40s.
Yes. People tend now, it's more popular to photograph.
Yes, oh yes.
I know we didn't really get off our duffs and photograph until my daughter came home from college. She said, you know, we don't have a family picture. And because of her, a younger generation, we got in and took a family picture of it. And that was in the Stang house. But I don't think I ever knew a Mrs. Stang in showing me the house, never said anything about pictures. And if there are any, it probably the person that might have them would be Anne and George Decker's grandson. He came up and was with Anne in her latter days and helped her get organized. She was dying. And then she left everything to him pretty much.
Do you know his name?
Gary Decker.
Where does he live?
Portland.
That's D-E-K-K-E-R, isn't it?
D-E-C-K-E-R.
It's C-K.
Uh-huh.
Does he ever come to LeGrand, do you think?
I have not known of his ever coming to LeGrand. I don't know why he would. I don't think he himself was reared here.
But you think he might have some things left from his mother's?
Very possible. Very possible. From his grandmother. See, Ann Decker was his grandmother.
Oh. Okay.
His father's name was Gary Decker, too.
I see.
Also. But he had a lot of difficulty. And I don't know what has ever become of him. He even robbed the Sangs one time. Tried to rob them. They were gone, and so he went in through the cellar. There was a cellar. Remember the old cellar doors?
Mm-hmm.
You'd raise the cellar
doors
up and go down the steps and
sure.
into the basement.
Usually not locked, I suppose.
Well, he broke the glass on the door and got in. But then, once he got into the basement, he couldn't get upstairs because they locked all the doors leading upstairs. See, there's two stairways up, one from the basement washroom and then one from the better part of the basement, the rec room and so forth. But
were there any special features? You mentioned the signaling system for the maid, the bell system. Anything like dumb waiters or laundry chutes or features like that?
Yes. There was a wonderful hydraulic elevator that brought the wood up from the basement into the living room.
Mm-hmm.
And then they could take the wood and put it on the fireplace.
By hydraulic, now, do you mean operated by some kind of oil pressure system, or was it electric?
Well, it was a pressure system of some kind.
Mm-hmm. How did it work?
You know, if you want to know more about that, David was interested in that. He, as a kid, he took an interest in that.
Mm-hmm.
And he could tell you more in depth about
I'd like
it
to
than
know.
I can. Because I'm not mechanical. And
as far as you knew, no, and, does it still work?
Well, now that again, I do not know. But that was there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a laundry chute from the second floor clear down into the basement. And that was handy. And another thing that was very unique about the house were these built-in wall refrigerators. And the old ice man used to drive into the driveway and chop out a good, nice piece of ice and open up a door on the outside of the house and put the ice in the ice box without even going into the house. And there are about, 4 of those areas there. They're very intriguing.
Yes.
And they're still there. And still look much like they did when we had the house and bought it from the Stangs.
Now, 4 of those areas, I'm not sure quite what you mean.
Well, there's one long one, then there's a short one, and another short one underneath.
For putting ice in, you mean?
No, no. The one middle one is the only one that got the ice.
Yeah.
The ice in the middle one would cool all the rest of the refrigerator.
But I'm not sure what you're talking about, these other openings.
Well, for the storage of food, you could see the ice was in the center, and then there was lots of storage for vegetables and for meats and things. And are you going to be seeing that?
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Maybe
yeah.
She'll show us these things if I ask.
And it was a place to put your food that needed a little refrigeration.
Like a cooling area rather
uh-huh.
than a refrigerator then.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Then Mr. Stang pulled out the ice. He no longer had the Iceman come, and he put in the refrigerator mechanism in the center there. And so that did the cooling. But there was no frozen food in that. So naturally you had another refrigerator in the kitchen. Yeah.
What did they do for bathrooms?
Well, there were 4 bathrooms on the second floor. There was a toilet in the basement, and for the maid to use probably. And then there was, on the first floor, there was a washroom, just no tubs. just the toilet and the wash basin on the, as you went in there.
Were the four bathrooms upstairs part of the bedrooms?
Yes. The master bath was part of our quarters. Dave and I had.
How was that equipped?
Well, it had a lovely little foot bath. Just, but nothing particularly unusual other than it had lovely tile. Very lovely tile.
You mean a foot bath that you would wash your feet in, but not a tub you could sit in?
No, you couldn't sit in, although you could certainly bathe the dog in it. Which is what my children did. They bathed Fifi. She got her annual monthly bath in that foot bath. But Mrs. Stang had a lot of trouble with her feet. And she sat on a little stool with her feet in this foot bath. And that was the way she did. There was a lovely shower and then a separate tub. And the pictures are still there, I think, that were in the house in the beginning. And then...
A large room?
Good size room.
8 by 10, maybe?
I would say more like... Uh, 12 by 9. Maybe 15 even.
That's a good size bathroom, I'd say.
Yeah. It's not a crowded bathroom at all. And then there was another little bathroom that accommodated the other two bedrooms right off our daughter's bedroom. She had that one.
You mean a bathroom that served both bedrooms in between them?
No, there was a sitting room between them with a fireplace. So upstairs. Very lovely fireplace. I liked the finish of the fireplace. And my son, Raymond, had the one closest to the Spring Street side. And then the sitting room came between them, and then my daughter's room. And she had, she could go out on the veranda from her room. It was an overhang, although I don't think she did a lot. But it was a bathroom installed as you would expect to find it. In the 20s. And then there was a bathroom for the maid's quarters. And then there was a bathroom for the guest bedroom. And those were down at the other end of the house.
Did you change the fixtures when you lived there?
No. No, the fixtures, as far as I know, are still there. I one time thought of changing them and putting in a more... I felt it would have been a little more suitable for the fact that I wanted to put in Austrian drapes and flocked wallpaper, and this would be a little, just a lovelier picture. But I didn't do it. And Ann Decker heard that I was thinking about it. And she wanted to buy the fixtures. And, of course, that I never did it. And I'm glad I didn't. I really am. Because, to me, they always kind of looked like they should be in a beach home. When you go in and take a look at the fixture in the hallway, see what you think. I always felt that that should have been a little more elaborate. Few more crystals.
Given the expectations that many people now have for bathrooms, I wouldn't be at all surprised if all the fixtures had been changed.
I don't think we changed any now. What has happened now? I don't know.
Yeah.
See, we have been gone for 25 years.
What sort of telephone system did it have when you moved in?
Well, the house had its own telephone system, too. Now, whether or not...
I mean, other than the one to summon the maid...
Well, that wasn't a telephone system.
Well,
that was a box system.
Okay, well, when you say it had its own telephone system, then what are you referring to?
Well, if she wanted to talk to her husband, then he was in another part of the house.
I see. Intercom.
Right.
That's what we call it.
Thank you.
Yes.
I tell you, I need your nice words.
How did it work?
Was
there crank, a bell?
No, no crank. It was, as I recall, it was a press button type of thing.
Was that throughout the house? Could you talk to somebody in every bedroom? And
they could talk to the garage man, you see. Mm-hmm. And they could also, if they didn't want the maid to come up, they probably could talk to her, too, you see.
Sounds as though it was designed for the business of the house rather than for socializing.
True. Another thing that was absolutely remarkable about that house, that back in 23 or 24, they put in a vacuum cleaner system that was rare for its time. You used it through the whole house. You went around and plugged your vacuum into the hole in the wall and vacuumed.
How did you turn the system on?
It was from the vacuum that you plugged in.
You mean there was a switch there that would turn on the whole system?
Yes, that's what I recall. Huh. Now, what happened was, I never felt it was as strong as it should have been.
Weak suction.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I didn't feel like it was as strong. It did have its own bag, and you went down into the furnace room, and there was this bag. You had to change that bag and clean it and put it back on again. And it just was easier for me to use the vacuum.
Yeah.
And I had a vacuum upstairs and one downstairs, so we didn't have to tote. And they were just a little more, now they're stronger.
Sure.
And so that was the way we handled that. I was going to take a look here and see what else I might have missed.
Please do.
What?
Please do.
Okay. Oh, I did want to mention that August was a trophy hunter. He had the downstairs filled with elk head, moose head, and deer head.
Animals that he had shot, do you think?
I don't think he shot them all, but I think he went on the hunting parties.
Sure.
And got them.
Sure.
And he loved those things, and yet he couldn't take them with him. And you know, quite frankly, I don't particularly like stuffed animals. But,
you left them there then?
I left them there. Some of them he gave Bob Fallow one so he could have it put out in his, above his place there in the woods, so that you just barely see the head of this, and then some of his guests would see this. I think there was a elk there.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of what happened to them. They were given to people that really wanted them.
Uh-huh.
I didn't particularly feel that way about it. Mr. Stang did love elegance. He put in very, very wonderful wood. Down in that recreation room, there's a very special wood. That is that blue pine. Have you ever seen that?
No,
it's quite rare.
So. No.
It's quite rare.
Does it actually look blue?
It's got these blue streaks in it. And now it costs an arm and a leg.
Mm-hmm.
It's, at the time, I learned to appreciate it when I have learned more about it and the rarity of it. But that central vacuuming system was one thing I wanted to be sure and mention. They had stables where, there are four houses on the property, and they had the tennis courts and the stables where those four houses are now in that block. And he had lots of movie star friends.
Oh.
And he had pictures of movie stars. Bing Crosby was there one time as a guest. And he didn't leave those. He took them with him. And Anne and Jane, their daughters, they lived the fast life. And they all loved elegance and fine things. And so did August. just trying to take a look here and see if I wanted to mention something that I had forgotten. Hydraulic elevator from the basement to the first floor, just to bring up the wood. And, one thing that always intrigued my children was the ballet bar that was in the attic. So the Stang girls took ballet and used that. And then the central vacuuming system was so unique for its time. And then they've kind of gone back about 15, 20 years ago. A new house had that central vacuuming system. Mm-hmm. So every once in a while, some of them will put it in.
It's a good idea.
And I mentioned the fact that there's hardwood floors throughout the home.
Were they in any special pattern? Or sometimes hardwood floors, at least the house we had in Seattle, are put together pieces like this, so you get a design.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, they're just back
straight
in the 20s,
mm-hmm.
Uh-huh, and they put them in lovely, lovely hardwood floors. Mm-hmm. And they had carpets, as I said, were kind of a browny gray color. I always called them mole, because I really, they were in the front room, they were in the hallway, they were in the dining room, and when I took the ones out of the front room and had the front room recarpeted, I put that one on the stairway going up the maid's quarters, because David, my son, lived in the maid's quarters, and he had his own stairway and his own bath, and he had, August sold us his big roll-top desk, and we had his roll-top desk up there in the little ante room off his bedroom that was just right for his study.
Mm-hmm.
And
good for a future attorney.
Yes, you bet. And he wanted to, he went away to school, as you know, for the military. When he came back, he didn't want to go to college at BYU or Oregon State or anywhere else. He wanted to stay in Le Grand and go up here to Eastern. So he did. And he, of course, he was going to be a lawyer, so he took all these courses that would help him with that, and stayed here the whole time. But he just loved his quarters, and he's the one that really loved the house. And
While you were there, did you have any particular maintenance problems, like leaks in the roof or plumbing backups? You spoke about that earlier, or electrical problems?
Never any leaks in the roof, and never any plumbing problems, other than I had Charlie Young was his name. He was a wonderful furnace man, and he took care of the furnace for me. Every time he came to take care of the furnace, I'd go down and watch him, so I could do the little minute things that might need to be done to make it function, and then I wouldn't have to call him. I paid attention when we had a handyman come. I wanted to watch to see if I could
sure.
I could handle it. And I had a big toolbox, and I used it a lot.
Good.
But once there was a little water came into the basement. Now, whether they still have that problem or whether it was taken care of, I don't know.
How about the wiring? The wiring that would have been done in the 1920s wouldn't be up to code now. Did you notice any problems with
well,
that?
Well, I think August had it rewired before he sold it to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
And we never had any trouble with any of the wiring.
Mm-hmm.
No, we never blew any fuses or anything. But I did understand the fuel box downstairs, the fuse box, and the lights on and off. And whenever the boys would get so interested, and David too, in a football game, and they wouldn't come for supper, when I called, I'd simply go down the basement, pull the master switch, and the lights would go out, and they wouldn't know what had happened. They thought the lights were out in the neighborhood. So they'd come to supper. You see, it was a wonderful way to get them to supper.
When you invited people in for social occasions, did you notice anything in particular about people's reactions to the house?
Yes, yes. I had a friend from Oregon State University. Her name was Jean Floyd Henniker. And she was the woman's editor of the Oregonian. And she came to see me. And when she came into the house, she kind of stamped her foot and she says, "What do you want with all this room?" That was the only overt reaction I ever got. Other than people came in, they wanted to see the house. They wanted to go through it. One time I went upstairs and here was a man going through all the... He was a guest of the house. And he was going through the whole house all by himself. And I was kind of surprised because the party was downstairs.
I suspect that was a common reaction, at least people wanting to do that.
Yes, uh-huh. And lots of times we arranged for them to see it. Mm-hmm. But this particular time, I hadn't gotten around to straightening up the our quarters, and Marie and Remy's quarters. And I didn't want anybody to see those quarters. But he went up and satisfied his curiosity, and there wasn't much I could do about it, you know.
Well, besides the way the size of the house and the way it's situated to make it seem very impressive on the outside, what else do you think might have intrigued people who lived in LeGrand?
Well, I know they were intrigued with the fact that there wasn't a lot of trees that covered up a view of the house.
Sure. I mean, intrigued them enough so that if they had a chance to get inside, they would probably be delighted.
Yes, they would.